Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Eight o'clock. Thanks for joining us, Jim and Kate, today from the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles. All right, draft last night, Broncos take Bo Nix. We'll get to that coming up. Nuggets beat the Lakers again. Denver leads the series 3-0. So what the Avalanche can do tonight when they take on the Winnipeg Jets here on the team, pregame at 7:30 for that one. So text or call us on the team line today. 970-242-1340. A lot of positive reaction. What Jared was texting about, Aaron Jones, former Packer, now to the Vikings. Packer running back. It's pretty good. Really good running back with the Packers.
So, we'll see if that helps old Jar Jar McCarthy there.
We shall see. All right. So we'll play Where in the World is Tyler Franzen coming up in just a little bit. Glad to have you along on this Apache Friday. So I just want your reaction to Bo Nix. I like the pick. I understand why the Broncos felt like they needed to go and take him at 12 and not trade back. I think they had concerns that they liked him. They did a lot of due diligence. They did their due diligence on him. I think Sean Payton developed a little bit of a rapport with Bo Nix. And so the concern was, Maybe the Raiders would take him. Raiders took Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia, right behind them. And so if you don't take him now and say you trade down, just to say that Bo Nix isn't gone. And if you feel like he is a really good system fit for you, which seemed to be the case for Sean Payton, then you're going to get him at 12. Yes, you have a lot of needs. And we'll get to that of who's the best available coming up. Of course, the Broncos don't pick until the 76th pick, the third round that'll be tonight. And they still have a lot of needs. They do. But winning this league starts with quarterback play. And they're hoping the Bo Nix, can he be Drew Brees 2.0, future Hall of Famer, all that? Well, they certainly hope that's the case. We all hope that's the case here in Broncos country. And also, do the Nuggets finish off the Lakers tomorrow night? Lakers blow another double-digit lead. Denver leads the series 3-0. Chance to close it out. Thoughts about the Avalanche as well. Alexander Georgiev looks like he is definitely right of the ship after the Game 2 performance that he had against the Jets. That Avs 5-2 win. So text or call us on the team line. 970-242-1340. That's 970-242-1340. All right, it's time for Around the NFL.
The latest on the Broncos and the league. It's Around the NFL on the Jim Davis Show.
All right. Denver with the 12th pick last night, taking Bo Nix, the Oregon quarterback. And 850 KOA had the chance to talk with Bo Nix after Denver selected him last night.
We're going to have a chance to talk with the first-round draft choice from the University of Oregon, the quarterback Bo Nix. Bo, we have a lot of folks here that are interested in talking to you. First of all, congratulations. What was the first thing you thought of when it was announced that the Broncos had taken you?
Well, I appreciate it so much. First thing I thought of was, first, the organization. You know, they put their trust and belief in me. I know it's, not a small task that they took me at that position. They could have taken a lot of guys, but I'm thrilled to be a part of this organization. Thrilled to play for these coaches and for this locker room. I can't wait to get there and get started. I'm just really excited for the opportunity and just can't believe it's here finally.
Bo, we had a chance to talk to your head coach a couple days ago. He called you the supercomputer. You came up. Your dad was a quarterback, Patrick Nix, there at Auburn. You've had that in the blood and in the family. What do you think that you bring to the table here for Broncos country?
Well, I'm just going to compete as much as possible, and I'm going to do the best I can to prepare for big moments, and I'm going to do the best I can to do whatever I have to do to make the team better. And it doesn't really matter what my role is. I just know that it's my service to the team to make them better and elevate the guys around me.
Bo, man, congratulations. Welcome to the team. Welcome to the Bronco community. It's called Bronco country around here. I'm quite sure you're going to get used to that once you get around here. tell me when the Denver Broncos first started talking to you and maybe gave you an inkling that you might be their selection.
Well, I've been fortunate to meet with them through Zooms and through face-to-face meetings and, you know, a lot of different times that we've been able to either talk football, talk, you know, life and relationships, and then just get down to the important stuff. And I knew there was always a connection there. I always really loved, you know, I always left, you know, the meetings or the evaluations knowing that, you know, that's a special franchise. That's a franchise that I'd love to play for. And now the opportunity is here. It happens fast, and I can't believe it. I'm so excited.
In your conversations with your agent, did you have an expectation that you might go as high as you did here at 12, or did you not know exactly where that was going to go?
Well, I didn't have a clue, but you know, I was confident in myself, and I was confident that, you know, I could potentially go, you know, to the teams that needed quarterbacks. But like I said, I you know, was confident in myself, but the draft is unpredictable. You never know what's could happen. You never know what teams want. But again, I go back, you know, Denver put, their belief in me with the pick, and I'm just super thankful, super excited. I know I have a lot, you know, to do in return for them.
Hey, Bo, again, congratulations. We've just been told that we got to wrap this up. So we'll look forward to meeting you when you come to Denver. You're going to love the city and the franchise, and, congratulations. I know it's a big night for you and your family.
No doubt. Yes, sir. I appreciate it a lot.
Okay.
Good luck, buddy. Good luck.
That is Broncos quarterback in the first round picked. That is Bo Nix.
All right. So thank you, 850 KOA, for that. So Sean Payton, he said that, you know, they felt like the Giants were the Joker team and there were three teams at the front that needed quarterbacks. We all knew those teams, Chicago, Washington, and New England. We knew who they were going to take then. We knew there was a second stretch of Minnesota. Of course, the Broncos and the Raiders, we kept saying, man, are the Giants going to take one? Because that impacted how the last three are going to be. So when they didn't, Sean, this is Sean Payton saying, I think I said to George, we think Minnesota likes McCarthy. We don't know this, but we think the Raiders like Penix, and we like Nix. So let's get on a conference call with all of them and say, none of us spend any money. We think we know this. Then Atlanta took Penix, and all of a sudden we're paying attention to the team behind us. It got a little crazy there for a minute. The process was long and thorough, and man, we're excited. That was the night. Tomorrow's the night when everyone says, we got our guy. I told George, I think we're in a position right now that we're at where we can maybe start to build this franchise in the direction they want it to be. I think the Penix thing sounds like it blew everything up.
In a way, it did.
Because I think they felt like the Raiders wanted Penix, and when Penix was gone, it's like, okay, well, now the Raiders decide that they want Bo Nix. Will they feel like they are, or they, you know, will they go grab him if he's available? Because they're looking at quarterbacks. We're looking at quarterback. We like this guy. We've had a lot of discussions with him. And so we better pull the trigger on this. Yeah, the Michael Penix selection by the Falcons seemed to kind of change how Denver maybe not entirely, but certainly they felt more urgency. We better take Bo Nix
right here. The last time that the Atlanta Falcons drafted a left-handed quarterback in the top 10, it worked out okay for them, for the most part, until his other issues crept up. But, you know, neither here nor there.
That'd be one Michael Vick.
That would be one Michael Vick, yeah. Yes. Yeah. That's where I was going with that.
Yes. So I personally, I like the selection of him. I think that he fits exactly what Sean Payton wants, probably the most accurate quarterback in this draft. So now the question becomes, because Sean Payton's talked about Zach Wilson, likes the athleticism, they like some things they saw on tape from Zach Wilson, that is it really between those two guys now? Sorry, Jared Stidham. Even though he's
sorry, Ben DiNucci.
Yeah, Ben DiNucci's the one that's like, thanks, Ben. Camp arm. We'll see you after training. You know, you're gone.
Start
after
working on getting your real estate license.
Exactly. And so it's going to be those three guys. How much will Stidham's experience? And if you're Jared Stidham, you're going, I don't know if I can win this job, because they went out and traded for a guy. It's a former first-round pick. They picked with the 12th overall pick in the draft, a quarterback, that they're going to feel the need, the urgency to play.
Don't you have to feel maybe, I get if you want to be an NFL quarterback, you have to be competitive and you have to have a little bit of an ego. But, like, if you're Jarrett Stidham, don't you feel maybe, like, just a little bit of relief? Like, yes, I don't have to compete for the starting job. I can just kind of settle into my backup role.
Then I don't want him on my football team. Sorry.
At some point, you have
to acknowledge what your role is. But I would want Jarrett Stidham, if I'm Sean Payton, to be pissed, to be angry that they went and traded for a guy and now they drafted a guy. I would want him to have the competitive fire to go, I'm going to go out and I'm going to prove him wrong. Both those guys are going to be on the bench. If he loses the job, that's where you want him to go, okay, this is my role. This is where I am in the league. But I don't want, if Jarrett Stidham feels like, if he's ready to go, well, thank goodness I don't have to worry about starting now. I don't think I want him on my football team, because what happens if Bo Nix gets hurt or Zach Wilson stays around and so they end up with the three quarterbacks and then Stidham has to play? I like to think Stidham's been in the league long enough that he's a pro and he'll be ready to go regardless.
Right.
But I want him, iron sharpens iron. I want Jarrett Stidham being prepared to go toe-to-toe with Bo Nix and Zach Wilson. I want him to fight for the starting job. If he loses it, then he needs to be a team guy, accept what's best for the team, what's best for his career at this stage of his life, and be okay with being the backup at that point. But I don't want him right now to just go, wow, thank goodness, pressure's off me. I want him to be mad if I'm Sean Payton. I don't want him to be happy about this.
I will say this. If we get through training camp, and I mean we get through training camp, well into the preseason, and we're going, hey, maybe Jarrett Stidham is the starting QB1 week one against whoever, I'm panicking.
Well, they made a mistake.
I'm running around screaming, repent, because something's gone horribly wrong.
If Bo Nix doesn't come in and win the job, then there's a problem.
Over Zach Wilson
and Jarrett Stidham. But once again, you're asking about how I would, if I'm Jarrett Stidham, how I'd react. I would want to compete and I want the job. I had the last two games of the regular season. I played okay, didn't play terrible, didn't play great. I'm a veteran guy. I want this job. I don't care who they drafted. Man, okay, fine. They don't believe in me. I believe in me. I'm going to prove to them that I should be the guy starting, because that's the mentality you have to have. I don't think, you know, acceptance, at some point you have to have acceptance. But if Bo Nix probably isn't the starting quarterback, this is a huge issue. If it's something, if he gets hurt, okay, let's knock on wood that doesn't happen. He will I'd say it's 99.9% certain Bo Nix will be the starting quarterback. Now, if I'm Zach Wilson, I'm the same deal. It's like, I was a former first-round pick. I was this guy. I got drafted higher than he did. I want to prove to them that I'm still that guy. This is how you make that quarterback room better, with competition. And hopefully all three guys elevate. Hopefully they're all playing insanely well, and it's a really tough decision for Sean Payton. That's what you hope. You want all three guys to play well. That's not going to happen, though. You've invested a 12th round pick in Bo Nix. He damn well probably better be your starting quarterback. Because if he's not, then you really blew it.
All is well.
You made a really bad decision.
Can I read Guru Gary's text, please?
Sure, go ahead.
From Guru Gary, good morning, Guru. Scheme pick? Is he scheming to score 15.7 points a game? If you can't stretch the field, you can't win in today's game. Payton's scheme's archaic and easy to read. Nothing against Bo Nix. He's a good young man that reminds me of Zach from Saved by the Bell. But
he's,
yes.
He's kind of that way, yeah.
A little bit. Zach Morris is trash. He will have to run for his life. Meanwhile, Brock Bowers will own the Broncos for the next 10 years. Brock Bowers as a tight end owning the Broncos for the next 10 years, a la Jason or Travis Kelce. I mean, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that, but Guru, the essence, the flavor, the aroma of your text message, I absolutely agree with. Because I know that it's all about scheme, and Sean Payton really liked the scheme of, or how Bo Nix fit into the whole scheme. From Adam Schefter, he said, Schefter tweeted, Denver held a private workout with Bo Nix day before his pro day. The night before the workout, Broncos sent Bo Nix three packets of offensive play installation. The next morning, as they worked in the classroom with Nix, he, quote, crushed it, per a Broncos source. Broncos then took Nix from the classroom to the field, watched him throw for an hour, and were convinced they had the quarterback that they wanted. So he knows how to work a playbook, and he's seems to be pro-ready in that regard, and that's where I'm kind of like, okay, I can warm up to the Bo Nix pick, especially as we start to get into, you know, training camp and off-season workouts and what are we going to see from him in OTAs and all that stuff. That's, I can warm up to it. Right now, I'm like, let's just wait and see. I'm very, as I was telling you earlier, I'm whelmed. I'm not overwhelmed. I'm not underwhelmed. I'm just whelmed.
CBS Sports, they've got an NFL comp. It's Joshua Dobbs for Bo Nix.
The Pastronaut. That does not inspire confidence.
I don't. Okay.
That does not inspire
Bo
much.
Bo Nix is a far more accurate quarterback than Joshua Dobbs. Does he have the biggest arm in this draft? No. But Joe Milton from Tennessee, that guy has a cannon.
I'll say this. I think whoever drafts Joe Milton's going to get a steal.
They could. They could very well get a steal. Here's the thing, though. They had the best quarterback in the league at throwing the deep ball. They had Russell Wilson. They had that guy.
That's not Sean Payton's offense.
I get it, where Gary feels like what Sean Payton does is archaic. You know, for 15-some years, worked pretty good. Got him to a Super Bowl. Got to have the right guy. Drew Brees is pretty good. You would have taken Drew Brees. If Bo Nix can be Drew Brees 2.0, I think we have a different feeling about that. I'm with you. I have my criticisms of Sean Payton. I'm not entirely sold on everything the decisions he makes. I think, though, if you're talking about experience does matter.
Yeah.
He started 61 games in college football. Nobody started that many games. The last 2 years, particularly last season, you know, 4,508 yards, 45 touchdowns, 3 picks. It's pretty damn impressive. You're never going to make everybody happy. And hopefully Bo Nix will make most of us happy in Broncos country. When it's all said and done, let us hope that is the case. Seems like a smart guy. Certainly his accuracy is the thing that probably is the most intriguing aspect about him. He's got mobility, can run, can you know, some say that he tries to get outside the pocket too much, doesn't step up against pressure, as the pocket presence isn't probably as good as it should be. I mean, look at this last season. And we compared some of the stuff with J.J. McCarthy. We had, the 60 yards against Penn State?
Yep.
Stanford, 294 touchdowns. Washington, college football playoff championship runner-up, Washington. Going up against Michael Penix Jr., 337, 2 touchdowns. Washington State, 293, 2 touchdowns. Utah, 248, 2 touchdowns. Cal, 386, 4 touchdowns, through one of his only picks of the season. USC against Caleb Williams, overall pick. 412 and 4 touchdowns. Not that the USC defense is great.
No, they weren't great.
Arizona State, 404, 6 touchdowns. Oregon State, 367, 2 touchdowns. Washington, this must have been, because it's, you know, they got to play Washington again. Okay, this is, this was a Pac-12 title game. 239, three touchdowns and a pick. And against Liberty in the bowl game, where he played in the bowl game. He didn't sit it out. He could have sat it out.
Chose not to.
363, five touchdowns. It's pretty good numbers.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
So, I still like the pick. We disagree on this. And for those that say he's Jarrett Stidham, because they both played at Auburn, yeah, the numbers are pretty much the same. But I don't feel like they're the same animal. I just don't. Though they're going to be wearing the same color of skin jersey when camp rolls around. So here's Sean Payton on what Bo Nix should probably be focusing on.
I think it's the same stuff that we want Zach to focus on. I'm talking about Zach. You know, he's coming in. He just got in last week, and it's new. And, you know, get acclimated with your teammates. You know, the off-season program, fortunately, we're, you know, 2 weeks in. You know, our rookie camp will be a couple weeks away. And so, you know, it's that onboarding, if you will. There's a number of things. You know, getting to know your teammates, getting to know the offense and the coaching staff and the system. And so there's a process to it. And it begins, you know, it began tonight for him. And then, you know, he'll be here tomorrow, a couple weeks from now, for the offseason program. And so it starts.
All right. So we go from the one part of the law office of Payton and Payton to George with a T, not a Y in his name, or didn't have the Y in his name. George Payton, Broncos GM, on fielding trade offers, possibility the Broncos could have traded back.
You know, we took calls from teams ahead of us. Never really got too serious. You know, we considered moving back, you know, but once Penix went, it got a little, you know, stressful there at the end. You had the Raiders behind us. And so, you know, we just didn't want to overthink it. You know, this was our guy. We're going to take our guy. But we did think about it, not too far. You know, there was a few, you know, we could have moved a couple picks back and maybe got some picks. But at the end of the day, this was our guy. Let's just take him. Let's not overthink it. And we would have been sick, you know, if we lost him just for a couple fifth round picks or what have you.
All right. So here's Payton and Payton on the Broncos draft board.
We did have six quarterbacks in the first round. We liked all these players. And like I said earlier, I mean, we went through this process with all these players, all really, you know, smart, talented, impressive. We're really happy we have Bo. You know, I think he's a really good fit for what we're doing.
One thing we did feel, and I think around the league everyone felt, it's a receiver-heavy draft. There were some talented quarterbacks. If you just do the math, then you thought, all right, you know, who's going to be the first defensive player drafted? But I don't think there was a big surprise around the league that I think we felt like there was going to be more offensive players taken, you know, in the first half of the draft.
All right, so there's Sean Payton and George Payton on the Broncos and how they approached the draft last night. So Denver doesn't pick until the third round at pick number 76. So here's some names to kind of keep an eye on. From Dane Brugler's top 300, Roger Rosengarten, the offensive tackle from Washington, ties to Colorado, played at Valor Christian.
Hey now.
So that's a guy that they could be targeting tonight. Braden Fisk, the defensive tackle from Florida State, that extremely athletic, impressed a lot of people at the combine. And he was at Western Michigan for four seasons there, then went on to play at Florida State when they went undefeated, had six sacks and nine tackles. Also, you have offensive tackle from Notre Dame, Blake Fisher, who, big guy, 6'5", 310, still has some rough edges, but the size is something that, you know, certainly it's a great starting point in developing him. And then Jalen Polk, the wide receiver from Washington, who kind of got overshadowed by Roma Dunze, but Denver needs additional wide receiver help, and maybe Jalen Polk as a player that they target. And then Blake Corum from Michigan is from a running back standpoint. Trey Benson from Florida State as well. A couple of players that could be there for the Broncos to draft. Also, Austin Booker, the edge rusher from Kansas. And he transferred from Minnesota, went to Kansas, and 8 sacks, 12 tackles for loss, and he also had 2 forced fumbles. And then Theo Johnson, the tight end from Penn State, if the Broncos are still looking at adding to their tight end room since they did not draft Brock Bowers. Johnson doesn't have stellar numbers, career high 341 yards and 7 touchdowns in 2023. But at 6'6", 259, could, once again, kind of like the one Notre Dame tackle, has the size that could really develop into something in the league. And then Peyton Wilson, the linebacker from North Carolina State, got a lot of injury problems, but a tremendous range. 17.5 tackles for loss with 6 sacks. Top defensive player at the Senior Bowl in February. Another player that could be there for the Broncos in the third round. All right, 826, Jim along with Cake. Your thoughts on Bo Nix, Nuggets beating the Lakers again last night. Also, did the Avalanche get it done against Winnipeg tonight? Text or call us on the team line, 970-242-1340. Who do we have on the team line?
Sam and Fur to check it in this morning.
Morning, Samuel. How are you?
Hey, Jim Davis. I'm great. How about you?
Doing okay.
Well, you know, I was watching the draft on and on, skipping between two hockey games, the Nuggets and the draft. I did catch the Broncos making their pick. And, you know, the game film that they showed after Bo Nix was selected really tells a tale. Because he seems to be a really great scrambler, and he's probably going to need it with that offensive line.
Could very well be the case. Hopefully they get him some help in the draft starting tonight.
I really hope so. The Nuggets are just, they're just insane, aren't they? We watched the start of the game when they were down 10, and my wife says, we don't have to worry about this until the third or fourth quarter.
She was
we
right.
Tuned back in and out, and saw them. We tuned back in, they were ahead, and they never fell behind again. It's an amazing team. I'm hoping that Georgie has got himself straightened out. He played great the other night. I often wondered if maybe he shouldn't have cut his hair, but
Have you been talking to Robert lately? Are you on that Yankees haircut, no facial hair band?
No, but, you know, he had that nice flowing locks and everything, and he looked kind of like a wild man. And, you know, he chopped all his hair off, and he doesn't look nearly so wild, and it seemed to affect his play. He didn't play as well after he got the shear job.
See, so right there, you shouldn't cut your hair. You should leave your hair the flowing locks. You should have left it alone. That goes against what Robert's saying about the Yankees, though. The Yankees are playing really well right now. So.
Yeah. And another quick note, I watched the NFL coverage of the welcoming committee in Salt Lake for the ex-Coyotes. And it was really heartwarming. I know this breaks Jackson's heart, but I think they're going to have a great franchise over there. You know, they've already got orders for 29,000 season tickets, and the place is only going to hold 17,000.
Yeah, for the time being, until they're going to build a new arena at some point. So yeah, for the time being, the Millers have lobbied for that hard. And let's hope for the folks in Arizona, though, that situation ends up being a good one ultimately. May not be great in the short term right now, but ultimately they get a new arena and stability and a franchise that certainly our friend Jackson Wilson deserves to have.
Yeah, this way he won't have to drive so far to see his team play.
No, he's still going to be an Arizona fan. I think he's there. Yeah. They're off to Utah. So we'll ask him about that coming up. Hey, Sam, I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, take care, Jim.
All right. 8:29 and Jackson Wilson coming up. We'll talk Avs. Of course, we'll have Connor McGahee at 9:45 this morning. But it's time to play Where in the World is Tyler Franzen?
Where in the world is
Carmen Sandiego?
Oh, tell me.
Where the hell is he?
Well, I can't find him.
He's cannot hide forever.
I will find you.
Yes. Your chance to win today with Where in the World is Tyler Franzen? Case of beer from New Belgium Brewery and High Country Beverage. By the way, got to tour the New Belgium Brewery in Fort Collins. Got a buddy of mine who took me and some friends of ours on a brewery tour. Really, really cool place. New Belgium it is. So anyway, case of fat tire today from New Belgium Brewery High Country Beverage. Obviously, you got to be over the age of 21. And if you want within the last 2 weeks, please sit it out. But otherwise, text in to 970-242-1340 with the correct text to this where in the world is Tyler Franson riddle. We go to this college baseball stadium that was riding the wave of brand new renovations in 2005 until the stadium was basically destroyed by a historically significant weather phenomena. But like the phoenix rising from the ashes, they rebuilt an entirely new stadium for the low, low price of $10.5 million. Where in the world is Tyler Franson?
All right, so once again, if you're not 21, don't play. If you've won the last 2 weeks, don't play. Otherwise, go for it. Only respond on the text line, on yes. the team line, 970-242-1340. And if you win today, you're into the drawing for the never-ending contest for that Honda Street Bike from Motorcycle Accessories. Details at theteam1340.com. Jackson Wilson joins us. We'll chat about the Avalanche and the Jets. Game three of that series tonight right here on the team. That's coming up. This is the Team Sports Network.
It's your morning sports and more. It's the Jim Davis Show on the team.
Welcome back, Jim, along with Cake today. Jackson Wilson in here, just creating all kinds of chaos and confusion.
Yeah, sorry.
Cake was telling me about his awesome Avs experience.
It was actually very awesome.
Jim, I'm trying to bond with him.
It's okay. I'm glad you want to bond with him.
He's a good guy.
He is a good guy.
Stand up for him. Do you bully him? I listen mostly Fridays. Monday through Thursday, are you just on this guy?
Not typical. I don't think I'm
typical. No.
I give you crap. I give you good natured crap. I don't think I'm a bully.
There's everyone look, in here has look, a general right? Well look, right? Sean Payton. I won't say anyone in this building bullies me. There's always usually pretty good ribbing or two.
Wait a minute.
I know.
There was a big hesitation there.
Like, I was like, whoa.
Like there's a fine line between your mind between ribbing and bullying.
We'll talk about it off air.
Okay, you got to call in the hockey guys here.
Well, wait a minute.
Some enforcers. Okay.
Wait a minute. Are you implying that
I'm that one?
Are you saying the guy that sits in that chair normally?
No.
I don't know.
It is... If we're gonna say bully,
okay.
If we're stretching that,
kind of like Arthur Smith bullying his GM last night after picking Michael Penix Jr.
Yeah.
Kirk Cousins is like, what? What are we doing?
I love it. Michael Penix Jr. saw that will be 28 when Kirk Cousins' contract expires.
Yeah.
Ugh. I still got a shot.
There you go.
He's got a shot. So, what? Let's wrap this up here. So, is there somebody in this building that bullied you?
Technically, yes.
Can you tell me who? Can you mouth it to me? What?
I was trying to kind of sign language it to you.
Write it on a piece of paper.
I'll
just write it on a piece of paper.
For those of you at home, he's just pointing at Jim.
I promise it's not Jim.
Are you calling for a curveball? What I mean, you want the fastball? What I mean, inner half? Smokes. What I'm confused.
When you get Matt Rempe in here to protect him, the Empire State Building needs to come in. You need an enforcer, Cake. That's what you need.
I mean.
You don't think I can help him here?
I haven't seen you drop the gloves in a while though. So
in a while, I've never seen me drop the gloves ever.
All right. Don't read it aloud.
It's only break glass.
He wrote it down.
Can you read that?
Oh, that's right. I don't even know why I have to ask you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That is true. That person does.
Totally. We're not going to say who.
Totally. No, I will not divulge. No, I will not do that.
I didn't see either, so.
Yeah.
Stay, so now
your sign language thing makes sense.
Now
it makes sense. Okay.
There you go. My goodness.
Well, you know, if you need some help there, I'm here for you.
I appreciate it.
I've got your back, my friend. My amigo, my compadre.
I do appreciate it.
You complete me every Friday morning in particular. Otherwise, I'd be doing the show by myself. Except for Jackson when he comes in.
I learned to push buttons.
Good job. Yeah. Good job of that, by the way. So apparently somebody pushed the right buttons for Alexander Georgiev. That's what we call a segue in the biz here. What was the difference the other night? I mean, it was night and day.
He just seemed a little more focused. I mean, there's a video that came out of he led the guys off the bus into the locker room, and he just looked all business. And, you know, I think he understands the magnitude. You know, he obviously wasn't the goaltender when they went on the run. And, you know, last year they lose to Seattle. And, you know, so I think he's now recognizing the position he's in and the team in front of him, and that, you know, this is the most important time of hockey, and this is why this Avalanche team is built, is for these playoff runs, right? I mean, they're a great regular season team and everything, but, you know, they're in win now, win the cup mode, right? It's not just make the playoffs, it's win the Stanley Cup. And, you know, you have to have a really focused, good goaltender back there. And, you know, whatever he did, study more film, figure out where guys were shooting on him, you know, whatever he did, just be mentally more focused. He did, and, you know, he played great, made a lot of really big saves for him down the stretch.
Well, he was dramatically better in the high danger chances.
Yeah.
I mean, there was I think 7 in game one, and they pretty much scored in every single one of those. There was 11 in game two, and he stopped the majority of those.
When you get to that level of hockey, a lot of people think, I don't know if people think guys watch film or not. They watch so much video in the NHL. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, it's not to the NFL degree, but like these goalies and these shooters, I mean, they have so much analytic and statistical information that they're given. And then on top of that, they have film coaches who can cut and clip and paste. And when you have time and it's a 7-game series, you don't have to go through all 20 guys. But I mean, you can get through 10, 15 guys that are going to be having main opportunities against you and have a good idea of, you know, Kyle Connor shoots blocker this much, Mark Scheifele goes 5-hole this much, right, et cetera. And then on top of that,
you see tendencies.
100%. And then what am I giving up, right? Georgie's probably sitting there, he's like, oh, I'm losing, you know, 60% of my shots on, you know, the mid-glove level, whatever, right? And then he goes in, he makes his adjustments, you know, and he seemed really focused and ready to go. So it's going to be really exciting to see. It's been a great series so far. I mean, it's just really fun hockey to watch. And they still were in game one, even when he had a terrible game. You know, the Avs are still, you know, kicking and fighting. They're not just going down easy. So it'll be really interesting to see what happens tonight. You know, sold out Ball Arena, Mile High. It's gonna be nuts. So,
and he was just so bad down the stretch. An 856 save percentage in his final 8 games. Obviously worse in game one. 7 goals on 23 shots.
Yep.
And for people to write him off, it's understandable. I mean, even during the season, 897 save percentage was 6 percentage points below the league average.
You can feel the writing's on the wall. Like, if he does not perform well the rest of these playoffs or this series or whatever, I mean, like, I don't know. Like, you can definitely see a lot of pressure Chris McFarland and Joe Sakic would get from the fans and from everyone else.
Why didn't you make a move? Why
100%.
Why didn't you get a veteran guy?
100%. So we'll see. Eustace Anunin, he's back. He's healthier again. So
they brought
sick.
Up Prosvetov for game two
yeah,
because
like,
the Arvid Holm,
which was so funny.
There.
The next night, he's already back with the Eagles playing in the AHL playoffs, which I was surprised by. He started the very next night. They like got him to Winnipeg and then he flew to wherever. I mean, which was pretty funny. But I don't know. I mean, if he plays like that, He's a NHL playoff goaltender.
But how much was that also him playing better, the film work, whatever he did?
Oh, my God.
But also, Josh Manson, who redeemed himself from game one, had a horrible turnover, scores a goal. Their secondary scoring was tremendous in game two. They played better in front of him.
Right. Yeah.
There wasn't the sloppiness that you saw in game one.
They timed it up. I mean, the Jets are a good team. And the reason the Jets win is because of, you know, they're not other than, you know, that first game, they don't score that many goals. Like, they score 3-4 goals. It's 3-1, 4-2. That's how they win. They play a very good systematic game, and they were juiced up for game one. They were ready to go. The Avs weren't.
The whiteout and the emotion.
Avs weren't ready to keep up with their system. You know, they just leaked oil the whole game, right? And then they were able to really bounce back and hone in for game two, you know, to even the series out, that's a tough place to win. I mean, again, even if they came back to Colorado and it was 2-0 Jets in the series, I'd still feel okay. But I mean, the fact that they were able to steal at least one game they had to. I mean, they don't have the home ice now, right? So they really had to they got to steal two games, one game up there. So, yeah, it'll be really fun. It'll be really interesting. Hopefully they can play like they did in game two again. But we'll see. But they play so good on home ice. I mean, the Avs are just a home ice
machine. The best in the NHL, the season on home ice. And I kind of wonder a little bit, too. For Georgie, and I don't know this to be true. I just think this might be a possibility. He saw what they did to Hellebuck.
Yeah.
And he's kind of going, okay, number one, we're going to be good. We're going to be okay because we put 6 on him on the road in game one. I get my stuff together. And this guy's considered he's going to win the Vezina. So the best goaltender in the NHL. Look what we did to him. If I can just get myself back to kind of where I was, close to where I was last year.
Yeah.
We're going to be okay here. I'm going to be okay. We're going to be okay because they're going to bail me out, but I need to play better. I can't give up 7 goals.
It's got
to
be such mental warfare for a hockey goalie.
He had to respond to the challenge like we were talking about where I was giving you some grief about you saying Jared Stidham's got to be relieved. I want the challenge if I'm Alexander Georgiev.
Right.
Hellebuck's the best in the league. I'm going to respond here. I play like garbage in game one. I'm going to get my crap together because I know I'm capable of playing better than this.
The competitive fire is what you want to see, right? And, you know, this is why these hockey goalies are so crazy. I mean, it has to be one of the more mental positions in all of sports. And not like a systematic quarterback who needs to know everything. It's not about knowing everything. It's about just keeping yourself sane and on task and positive, right? And how, what you're going to do next. Because, I mean, if you're an NHL goalie and you're seeing 90, 95 mile an hour shots, these guys are so good. I mean, you let 2 goals in, you fall apart. Ilya Sorokin last night, the Islanders, didn't start any playoff games. They're like, hey, buddy, here's your chance. He got yanked 14 minutes left in the second. Right. And he stood in the hallway with all of his gear on for like the whole second period, just losing it mentally. Right. So it looks like Georgie was able to hone what he needed to hone, figure out what he needed to do, whether it was the sage brush or whatever the hell. Right.
Exactly.
And he was able to really realign his mental ability. Right. Because he can make the saves. He's physically able. We've seen it time and after time. But the reactionary stuff, keeping up with rebounds, just being ready, and then being a step ahead of guys on those breakaways, on those high percent, on those high chances that you were talking about, right?
Well, like he gave one to Niederreiter, the one off the skate or whatever that led to a goal. I mean, that's one he got to save,
right?
Those are plays you got to make, and he made those plays in game two.
Yeah. So no, it'll be exciting to watch tonight. I mean, I think Winnipeg is going to come out just laying body, buzzing. I read a stat this morning, too. This is the highest hit per game NHL playoff since, I think it was 03-04. I mean, it's 90 hits a game what they're about averaging.
And the Avalanche have stood toe-to-toe with them.
Oh, yeah. Well, they built up for that. You know, Trinan, Parise even got in the scoring action. You know, they got these guys that'll hit, and that's what you need, so.
And just, like we were talking about, all the guys that scored, Miles Wood, back-to-back games where he gets a goal, Manson, Parise, then he had the choo-choo train who normally is in there anyway.
But, so good at hockey.
But it was all the secondary scoring. It wasn't McKinnon. It wasn't Rantanen. It wasn't Makar. It was everybody else.
And that's what you got to have. I mean, that's, I would actually love to see a little more action this series. You know, it seems like McKinnon could even find a way to bury a couple more right now. So, yeah. I mean, it'll be super interesting. Do a quick transition like you're always, you know, doing.
Can we save it to the other side of the break?
Yeah, that's fine.
Because you got to take a break real quick.
We got to tease everybody about this alumni game we got.
Yes, we
coming.
Got more details
yes.
coming up. So stick around for that. And Jackson will have all that information coming up next.
Cuckoo, loony, and crazy. The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team. It's a beautiful day.
Welcome back, 851. Jim along with Cake today and Jackson Wilson, River City Sportplex. So, got the Avalanche alumni game coming up May 18th.
Just real quick, that makes me cry because I used to be a Coyotes goal song right there.
I didn't know.
Circa 05, maybe circa 04. That was
And you didn't
fun
have your
fact,
head. You didn't
too.
Have your, yeah, you didn't have your headphones on when Sam called.
Yeah.
About, they've sold 29,000 season tickets already. And
sweet.
He was feeling your pain though.
You know, it's.
He thought you were going to still be. You're going to now be a Utah, whatever they're going to be
fan. Currently, you know, it's always hard when you go through such a lots of love, right? But I am cheering for the players. I love a lot of the players.
Sure.
Don't know how I feel about the team yet part of it.
So you're still undecided.
Love Logan Cooley. Love Clay Inca. I've been watching these guys play, you know, for some of them a couple of years, some of them last year, they were rookies. So I will definitely be invested into the Salt Lake team for a lot of the players and stuff. And we're closer. We take the youth kids to Salt Lake all the time. So I'll you know.
You might be transitioning to a degree your fandom.
Yeah, but.
And staying with them, but going to Utah.
Yeah, but Avs might bump up to that number one spot for me now. I know, so we'll see.
Plenty of room. Come on, we'll hop see. On. We have the Avalanche alumni game, May 18th, over at River City Sportplex. And so you got kind of a sense of who might be playing in this, which I think it's an incredible list of guys.
So we have now gotten a bit of a list. Some of this depends on the altitude broadcast for the games. So, you know, here's how I feel. And I was kind of mentioned to you and I'll water it down a little bit for the listeners, right?
Okay.
Because I feel strongly because it's an event I'm putting on and I want to grow hockey in Junction and, you know, so I want all these guys here. But so, you know, if the Avs end up not having gone farther than the first round, probably a lot of these altitude broadcast guys would be able to come out for the event.
Okay.
So I'm kind of like, they either need to win the Stanley Cup or lose in the first round right now. But here's a list of about eight players, with some of them being on that altitude broadcast, which we don't know if they're coming. So Aaron McKenzie, John Mitchell, Jan Stasny, Mark Rycroft, Andy Canzanello, Will Z, which I think might be Willie Mitchell, potentially, okay, yeah. Not quite sure. Kyle Quincy's in, and John Michael Lyles would potentially be another. We've had a little bit of
Riker's big, you know.
Oh, dude, I would love
huge to get him.
I would love Mark Rycroft come out here. I mean, that guy is just a trip. I got so many questions. I think I'd have more questions for him than almost the rest of them. So that's kind of the list we're looking at. We also might be able to have some DU national champions.
That'd come, be fantastic
I
as
know,
well.
Right? Come out as part of it. It's really awesome. So I'll get into a little meat and potatoes of the event if that's all right. So Saturday, we will be hosting the game. It'll be a 6:30 Avalanche alumni game. We're going to basically split about six alumni on one team, six on the other. Myself and three other hockey coaches are playing in the game, local coaches. And then we're also selling sponsorships for some of the adult league players or any hockey players to play in the game by basically buying in,
right,
and providing money for the youth club. Because this is a big charitable event. Fundraiser for the youth club as well, even though, you know, it's more of just a really fun Avs alumni game, but it's a youth fundraiser, so we're super excited about that. So the game will happen. We're going to do about 3 15-minute period, probably run time. We'll have the little kids skate at first intermission. The second intermission of the game, we're going to do something super fun where we're going to have an alumni shootout. A member of the public can buy in, I think it's $100, you can sponsor an Avs alumni player in the shootout. If your player wins, you and your Avs alumni get to split half of that money.
Very cool.
The other half is going to go to the youth club. And so it'll be really a 50-25-25, right? 50% of those, you know, that $1,200 is going to go to the youth club. So 600 there, 300 will go to the guy that's sponsored. So 2-to-1 odds there if you're, you know, keeping up at home. And then and then also, you know, 300 that Avs alumni guy, which usually they donate it back. But, you know, and that just gives them a little bit of initiative as well to try and, you know, put on a really fun little shootout show at second intermission. So that'll kind of be the whole essence of the game.
So when can people buy tickets? I know it's going to be a limited number, so
yep.
Because of the size of the arena, but when is that going to happen? Do you have that established yet?
Yeah, so we're probably going to start ticket sales on Monday, early next week. Excuse me. We have a flyer going out that we're going to send out. You know, we're going to try and get you some information too, and get a radio ad going on the team here. So everyone at home is able to, you know, find a way to get tickets if they want. We're probably going to have a limitation on the tickets. I think we're going to be about 400 or so adult tickets, maybe 100 or so youth tickets. We will be selling VIP glass seats as well. So tickets are going to go for $25 for an adult. If you're 12 or under, it's $15. If you're a Riverhawk youth hockey player that was registered last year and you wear your jersey or a Cap Rock player, they're going to be able to go into the event for free. You know, so that's super fun, right? I just got a text. Someone said, what about Chuck a Puck? Yeah, I don't think we can do that one right now. Sorry. we'll try to squeeze it in. So that'll be super fun. Now, so that's the Saturday. So let's talk about some off-ice events that we have going on Friday, Jim, because I know you were wondering.
Okay. We are right up against here a little bit. But,
okay, I'll go quick. So Friday, we are going to have a golf pro-am out at Redlands. So we're going to sell 25 slots to golf with an alumni. That's going to include lunch before.